Nana block. Let me welcome the department as well and others. Today we're going to be dealing with the third and fourth quarterly reports. As part of the budgetary review process, earlier on I was debating with the committee secretary as to whether we need to split or combine these two reports. But as I see now, it seems each report is quite hefty, and I suggest that we keep them separate. However, before we start, I just wanted to highlight something. Yesterday I spent lengthy time with the support staff, the researcher, the committee secretary, and the advisor, looking at how we address quarterly reports. And we realized we need to attach a lot of importance of the quarterly reports because they are part of the four phases of the budget review process. And unfortunately, that's all that we could say, because early afternoon at that time we had not received these documents from the department. We were promised 2:30 yesterday, and we closed our meeting at 4:20, and at 4:20 we had not received these documents. Our attitude on record, I'm not taking kindly to that. We are not handling these reports by ticking boxes in the scorecards just to say we've done them. They are part of the oversight exercise, part of the budget review process, which is five phases. The four phases of the budget review process clearly highlight that we need to engage on quarterly reports. The history behind that is that we have not been fully effective in oversight work in the past, because we used to get annual report, both financially and operationally, at around September, October, and that was not effective in terms of correcting oversight. We would be picking up things when damage has already been done. There was no early warning mechanism in that. Hence, even from my side, I really appreciate the fact that the quarterly reporting process now, which is fine, but it doesn't mind the purpose if we are going to get documents right at the meeting. I am sure, you know, there's not a single committee in this parliament that takes kindly to present the report right at the meeting, honourable members. There's not a single, it's not just us, it's a rule. I mean, there are times even when some of the chairs close the meeting there and then and say, look, we're not going to proceed with this meeting because only give us a report now. For now, I'll be lenient. I think it'll be the last time. You can say that to anyone, I don't care. Because the rule. We also have to be effective in our oversight work. How would you expect us to be effective if you are given this? I've got the judgment on number, it's over 5 to 9 o'clock. Prof, that prof, if it came to ask me, that he might be something, I said, no, prof, you're right. There was nothing until night. I mean, we can pick up our email, you know, over the phone. But I would have picked up, that's quite. But it is that it means nothing. We've been working as a team for some time pretty well. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, team energy, please, let's do our best to avoid this in the future. it will be effective enough. When interest rates go up, when these rand gets weaker, when the balance of payments and trade deficits in the country start moving to the negative, amongst other things, we know that that's going to affect energy, petrol, crude oil. Just recently, we got Eskom to come and explain to us how it will handle the 8% termination and compensation. At the end of the day, we have to appreciate that it is work in progress, it's still engaging NERSA, because electricity provides how much, 80-85% of energy in the country. Vital. I'm raising all those things because at the end of the day, our work at Parliament in conducting oversight, looking at whatever reports, is strongly intertwined with all the things that I've highlighted to ensure that there's consistency in implementation of policy, legislation, and even rolling out programs. Presentation of quarterly reports is part of that must like. So it's important that we get them in time. We don't just want to look at them, ask questions. Improved in any case, but now, well, we can only depend on our memories, I say. In any case, as I say, without being confrontational, I'm just appealing to Team Energy, or some of us in Team Energy, please, do us a favor in the future. Send the reports in time. Now you have alerted us that from now onwards, I have no option but to be more alert to ensure that reports are submitted in reasonable time prior to each meeting so that we can read them, get our essentials to check if there are anything that we need to highlight. Link them with whatever commitments that have been done in the past. I think we also would appreciate that also when we do these things, when we do this conduct this oversight, we also have to link whatever you have reported with what you have committed and whatever other programs that have been done in the past, whether there's an improvement or no improvement, or whether there's a need maybe to address certain areas which cause deficits or which need some degree of better improvement. So it's just not about a mechanical demand that you should just submit these in time, though there's a valid value-add reason that we need to have the force in time. I hope you appreciate that. On that note, can we get apologies from the Commerce Secretary?
Thank you, Chairperson. So the following apologies. Honourable Pinto and Honourable Ferguson, who will answer quickly. Honourable Khalile, who has constituency commitments. And then Honourable Lotho is attending another meeting, but will be joining us here. And then Honourable Salah is running late. He will be joining us. And then also an apology from the Director General. Apologies for not attending the meeting, Chair. Those are the apologies, yeah.
Thank you very much. Can I hand over to the department now to take us through the third quarterly report for 2012-2013?
Good morning, Chairperson and the honorable members. Let me first start by sincerely apologizing for the late submission of documents. It is not, of our making. I am not going to try and justify why the documents are submitted late, but I must indicate that capacity constraints and work pressure, you know, because of those, some of the key members not being in office, because of them off members to go through those documents. And once more, our sincere apologies, Chairperson. We've never, done this before, and maybe it means there was a reason for that. But we sincerely apologize. And going forward, we'll make sure that we submit the documents in time to allow members to scrutinize and go through those documents in time so that we can interrogate the documents and, drive value out of them. From our side, Chairperson, as acting DG, I'm Josh Mgoni. Like the Secretary has indicated, DG is overseas. I'll allow other members also to introduce themselves so that we can link names to the faces.
We've had adjustments through the year of 71 million. leaving us with an adjusted or revised budget of 6.7 billion rand. When we refer to year-to-date budget in column number 4, it means budget right till December. So it will be for the month that we open, which will be April until December. That is what I mean by year-to-date budget. It will be for the 9 months. The next column will tell you the year-to-date actual. It's also covering the 9 month period of how much money was actually spent. So if you take 4.9 billion, for the December year end, we would have had a budget of 4.9, but I spent 4.8, leaving me a variance of 88 million rand. And the 88 million rand, the biggest variance we could see lies in transfers and subsidies, which we have not transferred 131 million. We've had negative variances in compensation of employees of 7 million. Goods and services, we've overspent by 29 million. We've underspent in transfers by 131 million. Overspent in CapEx by 6.8. But here I would like, when I go by program, I would give you the reasons. And also, before I proceed, I'll also give you top level reasons there. The department commenced the 2012-13 financial year with a budget of 6.8 billion. And as I mentioned, we have had adjustments of 71.43 million. It reduced our budget to 6.7 billion, which was approved through the Adjusted Appropriation Act and included the rollover of unspent funds totaling 25 million. Here, this would have been from the previous financial year where we requested a rollover, and it comes in the 2012-13 financial year. We had an additional allocation of 2.1 million to cater for higher than anticipated salary increases. Expenditure reductions totaling 99.3 million implemented under the Energy Efficiency Demand Drive Management ESCOM grant. The budget was also adjusted to reflect the rent sum reclassification, which happened earlier in the year, for 40 million, and EEDFM reclassification of 80 million to provide funding for the department's operational expenditure. But I would, just to bite up on that share, we've had in the transfers, which you'll see later on, 1 billion rand going to ESCOM, but due to, and the EEDFM as well, but due to some funding constraints that the department has had.
I'm trying to catch up in the documents. But where are you?
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, honourable members. I was just explaining something, not that it's on the slide. So we've had 1 billion. I will show it later on in a presentation, but just to put the 80 million in context, we did top slides. We did take a little bit of that 1 billion rand for operational expenditure, which was approved by National Treasury. If we go down to the RESCO reclassification, which happened in the year, it was under Program 3. We had returned for 40 million rand.
Just remind again of RESCO.
It's Renewable Energy Fund Subsidy. And under Program 3, Energy Regulation. The money that we have taken from RESCO, we've used it in corporate services. As you would remember, the department did relocate to new premises, office space, and we needed some money for relocation to be paid to Department of Public Works. And the program
was there any money allocated for that in the past?
No, sir. We had to fund this from our entire, from our own fiscal allocation. And the program 2 also had funding for social economic impact studies, a study that has to be conducted for 3.3 million, hydrocarbon policy of 2 million for a roadmap to be developed, program 4, National Electrification Program, that's the INEC, 1 million rand. This was for audits, monitoring and evaluation of electrification projects. Program 4 also received some money, received most, 40 million. And this was basically for the, mostly for the membership fees that we paid to international agencies. Chair, this is a SM reclassification that I spoke of. We had 1 billion rand under transfer. And due to insufficient funding in the department for operational expenditure, We did take some money from this transfer through the approval process of National Treasury. We topsided by 80 million rand. 31 million went to state-owned enterprises. That is the Navy getting 6 million, NNR getting 12, NECA getting 13 million. And the funds that were allocated to these entities was based on motivations that we received from the entities for various priority projects that they needed funding for. And went through a rigorous process at the department where it was presented to the Finance Committee to be deliberated upon and then agreed to. And the balance of the money was to the value of 9 million went to compensation of employees to cater for higher than anticipated increases. And in additional costs that we... Goods and services, we had an allocation of 39.1 million. It caters for various line function branches within the department for various activities that had to happen through the year where we didn't have funding for. And those were, and administration also received lots of money, and they were basically for specific reasons that they had received funding for. Financial performance for 2012-13, compensation of employees. I did show them slide one that the ones we were over budget by 7 million rand and was 4.9% as a result of higher than budgeted salary increases and costs associated with post fraud additionally to the approved establishment on a contract basis. This was to supplement the fact that we don't have a fully fledged HR structure in place which is actually funded. The situation will be corrected by the additional allocation of 2.1 million from National Treasury and the EEDSM reclassification of 9 million to cater for projected deficit. So when we have the deficit, which I've shown here at end of December of 7 million rand, I have taken some money from EEDSM to cover that shortfall. Goods and services are over budget by 29.1 million relating to payments for international membership fees of 17.1 million. Social economic impact studies related to the IRP for 2.3 million. We had refinery audits and consulting services for 1.9 million. Invoices were all rendered due for relocation project amounting to almost 21 million. However, when we get the fourth quarter, the negative variances will correct themselves when you have the EESM money come. Transfer payments, I did show you in the first slide, we were underspent by 131 million. And the main reasons for these variances are the EEDSM municipalities, underspent by 21 million. This was mainly due to delays in the finalization of agreements with municipalities. Chair, we have reported to this committee in the previous two quarters, there are administrative issues at municipalities due to vacancies, skills, and some of the memorandums of agreements are not signed timely. And then we've got finance municipalities, underspent by 47 million, which is 4.5%, due to the delays in the finalization of agreements with municipalities. But Chair, under both these underspends, in the fourth quarter, you would have a more updated picture, and my colleague from Dr. Bonnet will also highlight the new process in place to overcome some of these challenges that we experience with the municipalities and transfer payments. INAF numbered, as at the end of the third quarter, this program was underspent by 63.1 million. The delay experienced at the beginning of the financial year, as a result of challenges experienced within concession areas, has not been cleared as at the end of quarter three. So we do have challenges within the concession areas, and there as well, I think Dr. Barnard can also assist in telling us how we're going to address these in the new financial year. Transfer payment variances, program 3. We've spoken of the 21 million already, which was due to the delays in the finalization of the agreements. INF was 47 million, also to the municipalities, and then the non-rich of 63 million. That is just making up the variance of the 131 million in the last column, if you want to read it. So I've explained the 21 million was the EED at the municipalities, the 47 being INAP municipalities, and the last ring being INAP non-grid. So it makes up the 131 million that we have not transferred in quarter three. First quarter financial performance for the CAPEX. We were over budget in the third quarter by 6.8 million rand as a result of various equipment procured in relation to the office relocation. This overspend will be cleared by rollover approval and the EEDSM reclassification and subsequent adjustment of the department drawings. You'll see in the fourth quarter the position changes because we've had the transfer cut.
Are you saying, in other words, circumvent in the slide? You're going to explain the third bullet point. When and the fourth quarter. Please keep that in mind.
Yes. Yeah, the next slide covers the major cost drivers for the third quarter ended December 2012. Travel and subsistence, we spent 25.7 million, which is 23.19%. Property payments, 20.9 million, which is 19.8%. Property payments includes the 20 million paid to Public Works for the bill of quantities for our relocation of our office. Operating payments, 18.9 million, which is 17.84%. Lease payments, 16.9 million, which is 15.97%. Then business and advisory services, 6.2 million, which is 5.94%. So these are the top five major spend areas within the department operations. Here the next slide is covered by program. And this gives you the overview of the entire department from administration and line function, telling us at the December, that the fourth quarter, we have 4.9 million. We spent 4.8, we were left with 88 million. Then it further tells us of the 88 million, 20 million overspent belongs to administration, and I will go into details of the administration program. Energy policy and planning was also overspent by 2.1. Energy regulation was underspent by 17.6 million. INAP program underspent by 105 million. Nuclear energy and regulation overspent by 13 million, making up the 88 million variance at the end of December. Here I will now go by each program in detail. The administration was overspent by 20.2 million. The major overspend in the area were goods and services of 11.2 million. And goods and services, the main reason for this is the relocation to the new office space. And as I mentioned earlier on, compensation of employees is over by 2.3 million. The negative variance is attributable to IFN and to say salary increases, additional cost of funding, additional staff appointed on the contract basis. And last overspend is in CAPEX. It's funding for the ICT, also related to the relocation process. Those are the major reasons for the variances under administration. Administration covers the ministry, the DG's office, the CFO's office, the COO's office, and internal audit. And corporate services. Program 2, Energy Policy and Planning. As column 4 I refer to, the year-to-date budget, we had 779 million. We spent 781. We slightly overspent by 2.1 million. The major overspending, compensation of employees, with the same reason, it's higher than anticipated salary increases in goods and services. The major reason is a total of 21.4 million from RESCO and EEDSM reclassification was allocated to fund the socio-economic impact studies related to IRP and electricity projects. And we've had consultancy for 2.3 million. Additional allegations and revised drawings will clear the understanding in February 2013. But I will show you this when I get to quarter four, how the variance will clear out. Program 3, energy regulation. We've had a budget up until December of 728 million. We spent 710 million. We did not spend 17 million, which was the underspend. And the bigger reason for the underspend lies in transfers and subsidies. A total of 250 was originally planned for disbursement to Eskom in the second quarter under Energy Efficiency and Demand Side Management Eskom project. The department has revised its implementation model, and a total of 80 million will be reclassified from this project for utilization within the department's operational activities and for subsidizing the entity's activities. This year, you will see the effect of it when we come to quarter four. But the delay of transferring the 21 million was as a result of finalizing contracts within municipalities, which I explained earlier. Program 4, National Electrification Program. I'll also refer to column 4. The budget up until December was 2.7 billion rand. We spent 2.6 billion, leaving us an underspend of 105 million rand. The biggest underspend contributor was transfers and subsidies. And if I go down to that one, it's the INEP non-grid project experienced challenges at its commencement in the current financial year, which resulted in the current backlog of 110 million. The INEP municipalities project reflected an underspend of 47 million, which will be greater in the next period. Non-grid electrification projects reflected an underspend of 63 million, making up the 110 million. Program 5, nuclear energy and regulation. At December 2012, the program had a budget of 586 million. We've spent 599 million, leaving an overspend of 13 million. The biggest contributor was goods and services of 12.8 million, and mainly due to payments relating to membership fees and international obligations, which resulted in an overspending under goods and services. However, with the transfer coming from the EEDSM, the situation will be created in quarter four. Chair, this is the transfer schedule that I spoke of earlier on. I will refer to the last column, which has got the variances. The year-to-date as of December, we've had a budget of 4.7 billion to transfer to all state-owned enterprises and municipalities. We've transferred 4.8 billion rand out. We haven't transferred 131 million. And the main reason, as I've been alluding through all the programs, we've had 21 million in EEDSM municipalities, INEP municipalities as well of 47 million, INEP non-grid of 63 million, and then we have a small variance of 43 in households, leaving us an underspend of 131 million at the end of December. But here, as I stated earlier on, there are many challenges with transferring at times to the municipalities, and my colleague would assist me with some of those challenges and how we're going to address them going forward in the new financial year. Not quarter four, but the new financial year. But some of the situation does justify itself in quarter four when I begin. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'll be relying on the guidance of the chair because we are now just about to start the presentation of quarter three as to how we have performed as a department in relation to financial performance as was presented by the CFO. The intention with this presentation was to set the scene so that as when we present, you know, all numbers, what's referring is that what is presented there is not what is in the statement. Yeah, we are really cracking our skulls this time, guys. A lot, but I think that allows the members to comment on that. But before I allow them, I just want to raise and put on record one thing. You made reference, Mr. Mgoni, to the, that amongst other things, lateness was due to staff constraints. And it brings me to some historical issue that at some stage this very committee was trying to spend their best to give support to the department because of the baseline program. Because when the former DME, Department of Mineral and Energy, was split into mineral losses and energy on the other side, there was a problem around baseline as to how much resources should be allocated to energy. It was a long, arduous process with running battles, as I may understand. In brief, when the committee tried to give support, even trying to pull in the standing committee for appropriations, nicely the department told us to back off. Now, you're not going to come and tell us about staff constraints. Because priorly, I took a very clear decision that I will never ever deal with the department, with resource constraints. Because when we tried to assist you, you told us to back off. And honorable members of them. So we're going to deal with them, people who are just like TI and other departments. Yeah. And if you want me to put that right in that way, you can even go to the president. For that matter. Because when we try to help you, we told them to back off. And we don't think that get extra money from natural treasure. What we're trying to say, let us articulate this program of the baseline. And once it's sorted out, we then can deal with the department or with national treasure to sort out how do you work out the mechanics. But you told us to back off. So never can tell us about the issues, the constraints and any other related issues. Because we can't do things. Because of course, we've just said that the department which has adequate resources, like any other. Of course, I take into account, as what National Treasury is saying, that all government departments are affected by the current financial crunch. That I understand. It affects any department. But specifically to you, I'm sorry to repeat it because I want to emphasize, because it helps me that time when we're trying all other things. And don't come and tell us about any use of that for the future. And I can repeat, I can put that in writing if need be. One of the members.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it is difficult to really engage with the subject matter because I don't have the figures in front of me yet. I mean, something that struck me around that was around the IM program and the understatement of the IM program. I know that a new policy has been produced and was produced last year to try and speed up IM, which I think is laudable and is important. But you know, the problems that I seem to have encountered with regards to IM, particularly non-grid electrification, seems to come in with the fact that ESCOM often says that it's going to be bringing the grid out to a certain area, and so the municipality therefore doesn't want to give directive that such an area will take renewable energy for an energy provision. And then what often happens is that there's a big delay in terms of ESCOM getting the substations out and getting the grid out to that area. So many areas sit without electricity for many years, and there is now a resolution for that. I'm just wondering if such a situation is now addressed in terms of the new policy, because I have looked through it, and I see the one suggestion that I did make, but I don't think has been taken on board, is to say, can we not look at the idea of, in fact, creating small solar mini grids in a way? So in terms of putting in a solar plant into some of these areas, utilizing that energy until such time as the grid actually finally gets to these communities, and when the grid gets there, connecting that solar plant there to the grid, the energy can feed back into it. It was just a suggestion which I think would speed up a lot of the processes, because there is a great frustration, particularly around the solar providers, that in fact they are not able to go regulatory areas, because Eskom says, look, we're going to get there, some municipalities won't allow them. Has it been addressed? Will we start to see spending actually increase in terms of the iron program and in terms of electricity provision? Because obviously this is a key area in terms of bringing electricity to people. Thanks.
Yes, thank you. I hope that you'll be able to get the presentation that was on the board as soon as possible. My question is with the slow rate of transfers that are happening and the inability at times for other entities or government departments not spending that transfer and the effect that DORA then has on those entities or departments. How does that information then feed back to you of spending that has been retracted, that the program then doesn't happen? Is that your rollover that you were talking about? I'm just trying to find out, because there are the local government has got a very, in certain areas, there's a very high underspend of these things and specifically to these programs. And I'm just trying to understand how do you monitor that in order that the prevention for the next following year is then better, or us go to a place where spending then does take place.
I see no other hand. Thanks very much to the department. It's helpful, at least to an extent. Some of the issues are not new. Obviously, the uniqueness of quarterly reports is that they focus on a specific period, hence the need to have the different time codes. The researchers and others come in and they help us. But we've got to get the patent, the quarterly patent of expenditure, isn't it? So that's why it's necessary to even get them, even far earlier than usual. Otherwise, we must start talking in general, as if we're handling an annual report. We are not handling an annual report. And if you need to spend some time to work out how we handle this, I think honourable members would be keen to do that. But on my side is that given that from particularly last year, this committee has been very upfront about energy efficiency. I mean, we've had two sessions, we've had 30 visits. And that was a very strong message to the department that we want to see a heightened activity on energy efficiency. And of course, the engineers would say. How come is it that they were still spending on the energy system? Number one. Number two. Problem around agreements with municipalities is really not new. I think even from the NERSA side, I don't know whether it does come one way or another. But of course, it's very clear to you is around the agreements. Now, what one is keen to know, how far is progress in addressing the agreements with municipalities, because it has to be sorted out. Because if you remember, this is one of the red lights that it's not yellow, one of the members, that the Department of Performance and Monitoring Evaluation highlighted as not doing well. Overspending, a part of overspending, you have to get from one of the allocations.
money for membership fees. And the question I have, at planning stage, when you plan your budget, don't you allocate money for membership fees? Because we're members. So I take it it's just a traditional activity. That every year you could put so much money to the National Atomic Energy Agency, to the Renewable Energy Council or whatever other global bodies that we're part of. It just strikes me that we had to take money elsewhere for that. I think that's from my side. I take note of what also Honorable Kralin is saying around this of concessionaires versus as well. I suppose one at some stage we need to allocate some 1 hour to really address this, because it's one of the areas which unfortunately is just under the radar. And I don't think it should be under the radar or not of us, because non-grid electrification in particular is usually in the rural area that we need to give priority in any case. That's just a comment on that one. Shall I hand over to the department now to respond to the questions?
Thank you, Professor. I'll request the members from the department to respond to those questions in line with the various programs. Start with the issue relating to INEP. There was a question relating to whether there will be an increase in electricity connections. I'll request the Dr. Barnett to answer the question. And then the question on the inability to transfer money to municipalities, this will also be dealt with by Dr. Barnett. The question of energy efficiency, the underspending, chair, that will be answered by the CFO. And the other question relates to membership fees that were paid in the first quarter as to whether at the training phase did we allocate money for this purpose or not. The CFO.
Honourable Chair, thanks. I will deal with the issues related to the discussion. Thanks for the very precise questions. I think it's really the questions of which way we want to reach. The first one was, the first two, three questions came from Honourable Krillin. And before trying to answer, I just wanted to make a comment, two comments. One is that when dealing with quarter three, it means it's quarter three for government, but national and provincial. But it's actually quarter two for municipalities. So we're sitting with this artistic effect. So it's a very late agenda work out of the box. So it's why you will see on the, and that's on the great side. 47 million sounds a lot, but in the context of the amount that's been transferred, it's basically each two or three municipalities. And it boils down to three reasons for that underspend. The one is that in one case, they changed the bank accounts. And when the bank account numbers doesn't fit what is a national treaties database, the transfer has been rejected. That's the one. The second one is there was no performance, and we have to stop further transfer. The last one is to do with the fact that because it's in their second quarter, and it's still second quarter, some of them haven't done the work and submitted to us the business plans they were supposed to submit to us, so we couldn't transfer. That's the reason for the credit side. In terms of the new strategy around non-credit, it's correct. We are busy in implementation of that. We haven't implemented that yet. It's something that we start implementing this year as a pilot, but next year, the next financial cycle, it's going to be implemented more severely. But in terms of non-grid, there's two major reasons why at that point in time there was underspend. The first one, I think Honourable Kralin alluded to, is the challenge that in the current situation, the non-grid is a negotiation between a private entity, if I should name it, and ESCOM and municipalities. That takes much longer because you can't determine. It's not a business plan, which is not a technical thing you need to fix. it much broadened that. So that takes longer than one expected, and we'll see we come in the fourth quarter a bit better. But also second reason is that the contracts of these concessionaires going to expire in November. And the way we deal with them is differently than with ESCOM and disparities. We upfront transfer the basis of their business plans. With the concessionaires, we only transfer on delivery. So it's patients delivered, audited, and then transferred to take place. So they were a bit reluctant waiting for us not having a signed contract in their hands, being inspired in that that quarter, not to go flat out and install it, knowing that there's going to be a rollover contract. So that was a major two reasons why that underspending was there. We did increase, we'll see in the fourth quarter we increased, but because of that delay, we did lose a bit of time, we'll pick that up in the fourth quarter. But sure, that was the main reason on the two issues, Brent and Andre. The issue raised by Bonneville Smiley in terms of the overall spending, I think I dealt in general with my background with how the municipalities had the second quarter and the third quarter dealt with that one. Also, the issue about agreements with municipalities, correct. I think in this financial year, 12-13, the DORA allocations were published end of January. We went out with the agreements to municipalities in the end of February, and there's a long delay. At one stage, we calculated over 40% of municipalities didn't have the appropriate senior staff to deal with this contract. There was a line there, nobody was willing to sign it, not appropriate officials to sign it. So a big challenge with respect to that. We have, and hence why there were some of the contracts that wasn't signed, we couldn't transfer. Remember, we did the allocations in November of the previous year, then we signed the contracts. And although the allocations was made on the DORA itself, the contract that we need to receive a contract that is funded because of the transfer. Because they didn't send it back, we couldn't transfer. So that is the other reason why we had to upspend from up there with a third order. I just mentioned while dealing with that, this financial year, we report, you'll notice, Chair, that has changed completely. We have dealt with it totally differently, and our signing of the agreements with municipalities have improved dramatically. We set ourselves the due date to be the end of April, and at that stage, up to only three municipalities have turned back a signed agreement, which is a huge improvement for any of the previous years. I think I dealt with the majority of the issues of the grid, non-grid, underspin, and so forth. So if there's any more clarity, I'm more willing to deal with. If I may, just on the energy efficiency side also.
Just before you go fast. Isn't TBSA one of the handy tools to assist municipalities in enhancing their technical capacity or any other? I could another start, I don't know. And the same thing that some of the municipalities, you know, were struggling to put the lack of staff or whatever lack of capacity in addressing the issue of agreements. I'm rather provoking that question on the number, you know. But I know from time to time, you know, TBC does come to rescue, even if it's a bank, but they do have, you know, other facilities that look into that.
Oh, we can comment, if not.
Thank you, Jim. Yes, I would like to comment. I think the challenge we are talking about here is not to that level of the technical skills. It's literally that certain strategies at that point in time didn't have the designated municipal manager. And nobody is willing in the municipal structure to put hands on paper design for it. That's as simple as that. So that's what we're talking about. So not that down to the technical level, not seeing the technical master plans or the business plans. That is another chance. But it's physically just for them to sign and hand back. Money's already been allocated, but there's nobody to sign physically for to say, we will to accept under your conditions to accept this money. So that's what we're talking about. And yes, TBSA are playing a role in terms of front-loading process. But this one is more specific on something that takes responsibility. Thank you.
Continue.
Okay. The question on membership fees versus plan, the CFO.
Thank you, Chair. All departments have been affected by the four savings initiatives for National Treasury. So as much as it was budgeted for and planned for, but the money received had a shortfall. But we still have to pay these because we have international obligations. And through the savings within the department that I tried to achieve, through cutting out some of the operational expenditure, we managed to pay for some of these obligations. And then we had the opportunity to top slice EDSM, which was a negotiated initiative from National Treasury to fund some of the operational activities. We did take advantage of that initiative. And when the money became available, we started to pay for some of those membership fees that were that had to be paid. That was the only one in the chain.
Her own broker, and
had to, maybe we should have been quite careful as to time allocation for the finance. Can I propose that you try to be more summary and brief in your presentations and ensure that each and everyone who's going to make a presentation, they run through their own programs or sub-programs. Just that list by 25 to 2011, or
then let's say 2011. Thank you. Okay. Chairperson, next was the review of phase one, the progress, the implementation of the HR plan. Chair, this was partially achieved because of the local moderating committee schedule, you know, that was regulated. Was postponed, you know, on request of the various heads of the branches. We've also done an analysis of the interventions which were also implemented. Another target share was continuation of implementation of labor problem analysis and interventions. So this was done, and we've also achieved the development of the standards operating procedures in this area, but two policies relating to the support services business was slightly delayed because of the consultation process in the departmental budget chamber. Next slide, Chairperson, I think slide number 5, is a continuation of the review of phase one progress. What we've committed to do is the maintenance of an electronic HR calendar of events, HR contact list, and so on, and this was achieved. Chair, the matching placement of employees to the new structure, as you are aware, Chairperson, that we had revised the structure of the department. This was not achieved because of the prolonged consultation process with all staff members, but finally we have managed to match and place staff members in the fourth quarter. Chair, the commencement of the implementation of the framework for occupational classification was also not achieved because it's dependent on the matching and placement of people in line with you know, the work, you know, of equal value relating to equal pay, because people are being paid for what they do, so we had to first await the implementation of the matching and placement of staff before we could embark on the framework for occupational classifications. But this is work in progress, Chairperson. The finalization of the implementation of the job evaluation process for posts on the approved structure. This was partially achieved, Chairperson, but the remaining posts were presented to the Job Evaluation Committee in the first quarter. In relation to the maintenance of a management system report on HR information, this was continuously done. We have also managed, Chairperson, to establish and maintain an HR forum, which is representative of, you know, our HR practitioners as well as HR specialists within our SOEs within the energy sector. We've also managed to implement the HRD strategy, and I can indicate, Chairperson, that this was followed by the implementation of the annual HRD plan, which we managed to implement. Actually, in this area, exceeded our target. The relocation of identified DOE offices to new accommodation. This was also achieved, as was reported by the CFO, although with some challenges relating to funding, that because of the internal reorganization of funds, we have managed to deliver on this.
So, have been invited to House Bond? We have not been invited to housewarming yet.
Chair, we haven't done housewarming check because of the belt tightening exercise. We are actually serving water in the department at home. We don't have electric. We are really poor. Chairperson, the development and approval of the immovable asset management plan, which is also a requirement. Chair, this was finally approved by DG. And the facilities management framework was also not achieved, Chairperson, although we have managed to draft a plan. The plan involves inputs from various stakeholders, but we are in the process of ensuring that this is finalized. The maintenance plan was also not achieved, Chairperson. The draft maintenance plan we do have, but it's still not yet approved because it's still in the consultation phase in the UPC. Chairperson, the local management plan was partially achieved, and it's also still awaiting a final approval. It's still being under consideration, and in relation to the security risk management plan, this was also partially achieved. It is currently in the DBC for adoption, and we're hoping that it will soon be approved. To proceed, I will now proceed to transport relating to the maintenance of vehicles for the headquarters and the regional offices. We have managed to maintain all vehicles that are allocated to the department, that is GG vehicles, all in all, it's 29. We have managed to deliver this. And in relation to legal services, the person, we've dealt with all legal requests, and in particular, I must make reference to appeals that are submitted to the department, you know, in terms of the Petroleum Act, and we've achieved 100%. In terms of addressing work in this area, we don't have any blocks. To proceed, I'll proceed to slide number 11. We've also achieved chapters and 100%, you know, of draft and, you know, reading of legislation. We've received two, and this has been dealt with. And in as far as compliance with legal processes for conclusion of international agreements, as set out in Chapter 5 of the 2006 Mineral Executive Acts of Parliament of the Republic of South Africa, we've received two, and this has been also finalized. And in relation to the vetting of contracts that are entered into by the department and the provision of advice in this regard, we've received 16, and 13 have been finalized in the third quarter, and the following three were successfully completed in the fourth quarter. In as far as research and drafting of legal opinions, all 16 that we received, we have managed to provide legal opinions within the required time frames. And relating to the processing of appeals to the Minister for Decision, this was partially achieved. 17 were received in the third quarter and sent to the controller for response and to finish the record of decision. And 13 appeals were finalized in this quarter, and 8 appeals are still to be finalized by the agencies. But these 8 were also finalized in the fourth quarter. To proceed to slide number 13, relating to the management of litigation against the department and the minister, this was 100% achieved, and we have also ensured that the promotion of Administrative Justice Act, as well as the promotion of Information Act is implemented, 2000 because of budgetary constraints, we couldn't fully implement the plan, but the strategy is in place, but we are trying our level best to make sure that with the little that we have, we do implement all those activities that are part of us as, you know, as a department. Implementation of policy and procedures, the person is also partly achieved. 5 standard operating procedures were submitted. 4 were revised in the fourth quarter. We couldn't finalize this in the third quarter. They were resubmitted in the third quarter, but fortunately they were finalized in the fourth quarter. Chair, the last slide, in as far as corporate is concerned, the development of the resource center, which is referred to mostly by in many departments as the library. This was achieved. We do have a source center in the new building, and we have developed a strategy and plan which was recently approved. So I'll now hand over to the CFO to proceed, and bearing in mind that time is not on our side. CFO, can you please just immediately run on the presentation? Then we take questions after everybody is presented. Thanks.
Thank you, Chief. I think in light of the time limit, I would concentrate on all of our targets have been achieved. They're just too partially achieved. If I can perhaps just look at those two only. Under finance, we take care of supply chain management. That takes care of all our procurement, tenders, contracts. Then we do expenditure management, which pays for all our services and contracts. And then we've got the budget section, which takes care of all our budgets and all our submissions to National Treasury, and also our debtors and asset management. And IT is also included under finance for this financial year. Under two partial achieved targets, it was under supply chain management, and it was for the 100% alignment of supply chain policies to National Treasury and supply chain prescripts as indicated by National Treasury. Chair, we are here, we are on target, but slightly delayed in terms of timing issues only. We have internal audits throughout the year, and we also try to take some of their findings or areas of concern into account when we do revise the policy, and also input from the department. So, yeah, it has been partially achieved, but by the fourth quarter, we have closed this target and achieved it. The next one is also 100% compliance to SEM checklist. Yes, we also partly achieved, but work is underway, and we have managed to achieve this in quarter four. But there are no challenges anticipated for now. It is an ongoing and a continuous process of announcement. Those are the only two that is partially achieved under finance. Everything else has been achieved for quarter three. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. In the interest of time, Chair, I'll concentrate on column number 3, which speaks to the actual annual target. The first target was to analyze the implementation of branch mitigation plans by way of meeting with them and also ensuring that we do identify the risk exposures within the various branches of the department. We have done that, Chair, achieved. But also to compile the risk management strategy as well as the implementation plan, and better to report at the relevant oversight points within the department and the audit committee that has been done successfully. To facilitate the implementation of the mitigation strategy, in other words, what have been identified as risk exposures to ensure that the process owners to respond to those issues mitigate by way of reducing the risk exposures that have been done, achieved. Then progress report in terms of how are we doing as a department to mitigate the risk exposures against the various goals and products of the department is being done on a quarterly basis and continuously so, Chair. To review the existing, new, and identify the main critical strategic and operational risks. We classify them according to strategic, operational, and any other.
I thought to take you from the city and not try to be as compact as possible because we don't have time on our side. Okay, well, I'm appealing if you could have been
okay, a review of the imaging risk has been done, and as well as to investigate the reported cases of alleged corrupt activities. We don't have an outstanding case on our side. We resolve them to compile.
Yeah.
advocate is at the sublet if it's by sale of case. But however, the maximum preferred kicker was indeed published for public comment. When it comes to the cost supply engagement document, drafted for public consultation, the preliminary cost supply engagement document was started in this quarter. We observed that in the fourth quarter it was decided that it made an input into the work of the coal task team instead of going in alone as a Department of Energy. The MYP debris was achieved as well as the recognizing police choices formally communicated for the subordinate debris that was achieved. The partial achievement also relates to the solar park in terms of conducting environmental geotechnical and feasibility studies. Only the procurement of service providers could be completed there. That is performance. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, I think to start with, Chairperson, honourable members, I just want to say quickly that the third quarter was a tough quarter. There's no doubt about that from a regulation perspective. First of all, as alluded to by Mr. Mbuni, we had to contend with matters of restructuring. And those matters, restructuring within the department, and those matters did affect my component quite a lot, in the sense that there was a lot of uncertainty about location of staff going forward and so on. And so you would see, for example, that the performance during that quarter compared to the following quarter was below par. Also, one of the things that I need to indicate, I'm not making excuses, but to put it into context, is that we effectively had 2 months, because the third month is the December break. The last issue is that during the same quarter, what South Africa probably doesn't realize, we had a challenge in as far as the jet fuel contamination, which meant that there was a lot of time devoted to trying to make sure that issue gets sorted out. Nevertheless, in as far as the applications are concerned, we do report there that we only managed to do 82 applications that were processed during that quarter. Just to put it into perspective, the last week, just as an example, we did in 1 week over 30 applications. But in that particular quarter, we could only manage 82 in a whole quarter. And that is why I think I wanted to start with putting things into perspective. Okay, that then talks to basically the issue of, again, the number of license applications that were processed. In terms of inspections, again, we conducted 417 site inspections. I think that's and again the achievement was the fact that in as far as the restructuring is concerned, there was no impact on the inspectors themselves. But the staff that were more impacted were headquarters staff. The issue that I want to highlight now is the one that is written has not achieved the fuel samples testing. I think this is a very important matter for the department. We do not have funds for this activity. And I must indicate that even this current financial year, we don't have funds for that.
it is a very important activity in the sense that we are supposed to assure that or to do an independent verification of the fuel, of the compliance to fuel specification. And that honorable members were not able to do. And somehow, I think when we raise this matter, we are not able yet to get through to our colleagues at Treasury that this is a very important function. As indicated there, I think that gives just a snapshot of a number of engagements with industry that we had to go through, partly enhanced because of the jet fuel contamination that were experienced during that quarter. And I think that we needed to at some point get to a stage where there was even rushing of the airlines because that the situation had become fairly critical. But I must also indicate that we had never at any stage did we run a try. I will not dwell a lot on the issues, but just to indicate that those ones were achieved. Then on the system of corrective actions for non-compliance, I think this matter, we did not capture it properly. And we have since rectified this because what happens is that after each and every inspection, when we find a non-compliance, we issue a notice of enforcement action from the controller. And that enforcement action then goes to the one that is not compliant. I think as far as reporting for that quarter, we did not capture that. That's why you see the things. We did not capture it properly. And the decision that was taken was that we are not going to change, and for the sake of reporting here, change the report that we had submitted during that quarter. So that's why it remains like that. But it doesn't mean that nothing is being done. It's something that happened after each and every inspection. Then, as far as again, here I'm going to focus on the partially achieved or the others, self-explanatory. At the time, at the end of the third quarter, on biofuels pricing framework, we had to await confirmation of financial support from the Minister of Finance. And we were hoping that there would be that support mechanism announced by the Minister of Finance, and that was indeed the case. The financial support was provided. Then on the fixed retail margin for illuminated paraffin, the draft regulation was published, but we received one comment only. So the decision then that we took was that we need to go to all the provinces and have the stakeholder engagement to basically, you know, enhance the public participation in as far as that is concerned. And that was then due to be completed during the last quarter. I think the issue of the fuel prices, I think we've never missed a target in as far as changing those is concerned. The empowerment framework has gone to the policy division. And then in as far as the awareness campaign, at the time we had done 7, but our target for the year is 9 awareness campaigns. I must indicate that, of course, at the end of the quarter, we had covered all the provinces. I just want to also, a person to also indicate that the last financial year has not been an ordinary year.
but we have managed to do quite a lot. And to in as far as the resilience of the energy framework in the country, for example, we managed as this country to adjust to losing Iranian crude oil. No motorist could feel that we had just lost 30% of our crude oil supply. But the switch was made. The other issue that is not very obvious is the fact that 41% in 2012, 41% of our crude oil in this country now comes from the continent of Africa. That is a huge change, and it is something that enhances actually energy security. And I think currently there are concerns that countries in the western part of Africa, West Africa, are losing volumes. They are going to lose the American market because of the shale gas, having an impact, and shale oil having an impact in the U.S. But that is our aim as a country, because, with the right strategy, we can divert that crude oil that Nigeria now can no longer sell to the U.S., that Angola can no longer sell to the U.S., we can divert it locally. And then the other issue I'm about to conclude now is that we did not have systemic fuel shortages during all of last year. And a number of...
Unfortunately, I have to cut you.
Thank you.
Looking at time.
Thank you.
Looking at time. Sorry, Mkulo.
But it also involves a number of other stakeholders and also confirmation that we need to do as a department, and also normally at some stage we can delays from receiving information from the authority. So that's that. The other matter that we set ourselves on is on the National Youth Regulatory Act Amendment. During this quarter reporting, we intended that we would have completed addressing the comments from the chief state of advice. At the end of the quarter, this was not achieved because the comments were still being addressed, which then would enable us to table this amendment to the foresight class. We are currently busy with the addressing of the comments and also taking into account the lessons learned during the integrated UK infrastructure review lessons that we need to incorporate in our amendment of the NR Act. With that, Jonathan, those are all the targets that we have not achieved in the UK branch. Thank you.
Dr. Van.
Populated with an old version, but a platform has been established, but we haven't populated
first and just fill in on that one. There are just two areas that have not been achieved. One partially achieved, which is standard offer policy for energy savings, which is the standard offer and tax rebates. That was not done completely. The standard offer also could not be rushed in because it was implemented without the MIP degree being in place. The other one that has not been achieved at all is the development of a strategy and plan for working for energy program, where the issue also indicated that is a report from Sanity that was still outstanding. Moreover, it went on to the fourth quarter not being achieved because there is still some delays in rolling out some of the projects, and the engagement with the extended public works program is in progress to align the working for energy program for further funding and creation in terms of national statistics. So there's still work that needs to be done, that is being done to align working for energy with the public works extended public source program.
the department monitoring those time frames? It's fine to say that those are fine, but is it within the time frames specified? Because I'm just trying to understand the low percentage at this time, and then if they are within their time frames, then that will make sense. But if they're not within their time frames, then the question will be the why part that comes in thereafter. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think our job is to do oversight over the department in this respect. That is part of it. It will be very difficult, in my view, for us to discuss the progress report of the last quarter in the absence of this quarter. There were some of the things that were not achieved in the last quarter have been achieved in this quarter. So the actual status quo of where we stand in respect to the government, to the department's ability to deliver, can only be clearly seen after the fourth quarter has been given. Then we can really see what has been achieved, what has not been achieved, and begin to say, why is this not achieved? And look at those reasons. See, the reasons are convincing, well and good. If they aren't, we will have to say, look at the decisions and progress made. I think that's where it needs to go. And it will save us more time if we move in that direction.
Thank you very much, honorable members.
If I may, and I would add to Honourable Salah's thing, and I'm just looking at slide 65, and I would make reference, and Honourable Salah, if you look at slide 65, also in the fourth quarter. The second portion of slide 65, on page 33, in quarter 3, there's no reference to it in the fourth quarter, which will be then slide 73, on page 37. So it makes reference to the first part of it, but not towards the second part of it. This is something small I just picked up now quickly. If we had more time to go through the documents, I probably would have picked it up maybe somewhere else. But I was just trying to compare something with something here quickly. And that will then tells me why is it not then on that side, but we're not dealing now with the fourth quarter now. We are now in the third quarter, so I don't expect them now to answer because the fourth quarter one also.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. As we go into tea time, can I just throw in a few things from my side as well? I'm concerned by policy and planning program. There are lots of partial achievements, and it would be helpful if we could get an explanation why there's a higher rate of partial achievements. I'm concerned by which other one? And to an extent, program and project as well. Number is rather high. Compared to others. I hope I'm exaggerating. I'll leave others, as the honourable member has said. You know, we can actually link up things, because one has noted that where she has been saying that things have not been achieved in quarter three, but in quarter four they have been achieved. So there's some logic there. Honourable members, can you break for tea? That will give the department a chance to prepare for response and quickly move into our quarter report. Thank you. We need to make sure that at least by quarter past 12, we'll either adjust the presentation or at least 90%, so that we can give time for questions. Just before I forget, one of my concerns is that the non-grid spending has been a challenge, and you'll be tapping all the
there's no improvement. Concerns have been raised. Unless it is outside our ambit, then we can take it elsewhere. The other thing is that although I didn't just run my eyes to the fourth quarter, but also in the third quarter you would tell us your progress in the station. You only make reference to small bills, but there are a number of other bills as well. You must bear in mind we've also been monitoring these bills even at network level. So we do expect that they are contained in one way or another. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to allow us to present the fourth quarter performance report. In the interest of time, as far as the presentation relating to corporate services concerned, being the first one, Chair, should we first deal with questions or should we proceed to resolve that deal with all questions at once?
Yes,
Chair. Chair, I'll then proceed with the fourth quarter performance information report. In the interest of time, as Chair has indicated, I'll only focus on the quarter that achieved or achieved. Chair, in the area of corporate services, in slide number 3, we have two partially achieved. This chair relates to the operational classification framework as well as the updating of the skills gaps to resource the revised structure by 31st March 2013. Chair, like I've indicated in my presentation, you know, that quarter, because of the prolonged finalization of the advice structure, you know, as a result of the consultation process with all stakeholders. This has caused some delays, but we've rescheduled this to the first quarter of 2013-14. And then again, Chairperson, in slide number, proceed on page 4. Slide number 8, we have two non-shipments there. Chairperson, this relates to the facilities management plan as well as the maintenance plan. Chair, this was referred to the first quarter of 2013-14 as well. That is both of them. This chair, like I indicated, they are in the DBC process, that is the Departmental Bargaining Chamber. It's where now we meet with the leadership of the employee organizations or the unions, as they are commonly known, where we consult with them because they do have an effect in as far as the welfare of their membership is concerned. So these two processes are currently in the DBC and we are moving in the right direction and we believe that they will be finalized in the first quarter. Next chairperson is the slide, page number 5, slide number 9. This relates to the records management plan as well as phase 2 of the security risk management strategy plan. Chairperson, the records management plan has been approved, but implementation has not commenced because we are also looking at various ways, among others, the electronic way of managing our records, because it's very difficult to get too much paper. We are still busy considering various options as to what would be the best for the department. In relation to phase 2 of the security risk management plan, Chairperson, like I've indicated, the process is in the DBC at multilateral level. The multilateral level, Chairperson, will go to the DPC, the groundwork has been finalized. So the much resolving process has taken longer than we had anticipated. So in the other areas we have a shift that starts on page 7 relating to the communication strategy, which is in line with the national priorities. We have partially achieved here, Chair, because of budgetary constraints. This is mainly in the area of advertisements as well as the publications. You know, as you know, Chair, these need quite you know, a big sum of money, which we don't have in the department, but we are trying our level best to reprioritize so that we embark on these processes with a view to fully implementing the communication strategy in line with national priorities. So that is all from my land. I will now request the CFO to present the performance information relating to relating to her branch.
Thank you, Chief.
And
before I will concentrate on your partially or non-achieved targets, all of these, I have to, slide number 18 has been achieved, and the next one, slide number 19. Slide number 20, which they got achieved, and one is not applicable in quarter four. All of these as well have been achieved and not applicable. The only one in final that has been partially achieved for the fourth quarter, or everything else in terms of targets have been achieved, is one in petroleum licensing lodgement module. Chair, this development had commenced and was on target. But through the process, we realized we needed some enhancements to the module. And these enhancements and changes to the spec caused a slight delay. But we are well on track. I think we should be finishing, hopefully, in the first quarter of 2013-14 financial year. But this is mainly due to us enhancing the module and trying to get better controls around the system. Everything else has been achieved yet. Thank you.
I think we need to be upfront and comment finance. Very few partially achieved. This must be done when necessary.
Thank you, Chair. For the CEO branch, slide number 25, all achieved. Slide number 26, the analysis of the mitigation factors has since been achieved in the fourth quarter due to the fact that we have to schedule a meeting later. But this meeting has already taken place, Chair, but the comment there that has been indicated is slightly changed to achieve now as we speak. And then slide number 27 achieved. Slide number 28. In terms of the conduct for risk assessment, it was supposed to be...
What we said, 27?
Slide number 27, coordinated with the SOE integrated risk management structures. This chair has been developed to the first quarter this year because we have to meet with the people responsible for the areas in the SOE so that we begin to understand what are the issues and address them in an integrated way. So it was done in the first quarter. Slide number 28, the fraud risk assessments could not be completed in the fourth quarter, Chair, due to the fact that the project was supposed to be completed, but the team that was appointed to do the work could not complete the work, and it has been deferred to the first quarter of this year again. And then to facilitate the response action plan again is to check as to what extent our branch is addressing the risk that has been identified and reflected in their risk registers. This has also been deferred to the first quarter. It will be finalized now by the end of the first quarter. To produce one annual
expected to be issued by the end of this month, so that we can get the service providers to do the determination of the 30% of or 187 municipalities that have got issues with regard to the law to deal with the application, and then also part of what we are going to do is the audit of the assets of those municipalities. And then the other partially achieved relates to the investor access plan development was incomplete. The river energy procurement process projects, the study map for assessing legislation in those areas through the international substation from the RIP program. It was a clear process of only TDC, that is the transmission development plan, is underway, and the IEP, which is expected to start this month, the work that is going to be done here is going to be integrated with the work of the integrated plan itself. When it comes to slide 44, slide 44, we've got window 2 of the procurement program for renewable energy used for financial close and closed, and procurement and construction will start in October, and the bidding for baseload program is also expected to start by the end of August, which will include cogeneration. The draft liquid fuels roadmap report, there's a preliminary draft liquid fuels report looking at the final audit. That has been partially achieved mainly due to the delays in the provision of data for the project. We've seen also discrepancies between data project provided for the liquid fuels roadmap itself as well with that of provided for the refinery audit, which had to be reconciled. The other issues in terms of the development of the strategy and MGS usage, as alluded to during the presentation of what happened, is that we had not we decided not to to proceed with the strategy as well as the pricing issues that we had to put to hold them, so we could focus on the provision of the gas itself, the LP gas itself. So we had to focus on also on the winding up of the LPG projects that were there were taken in Swan as well as KPC in actually in 2014. The draft report outlining the coal supply constraints and possible intervention, we have listed this as not acting, but actually it was a change in itself. And what we did, we then did this discussion paper to serve as input into the work of the interdepartmental coal task team that is led by the Department of Mineral Resources. This document was submitted for approval, and it has since been approved that we then take it to this coal task team. In terms of the, I think this is just a reputation in terms of that on page 46. And then page 47 is that in terms of partial achievement, is that a discussion document on the maximum recovery price was published, comments were received, and stakeholder workshop was held on the 9th of March 2020. This is going to be finalized, included in the web program for this partial year, in terms of finalizing it, as well as revision of all the elements that go into the determination of the maximum regulated price for LPG supply to household customers. Then in terms of the ISMO bill, I think it has already been said that we have looked at the ISMO only. I'm also going to touch on the gas amendment bill. But safe to say that for the ERA and the NERA amendment bill, that the consultation has been completed and the report forwarded to the Office of the State Chief Legal Advisor for final certification for onward transmission to Cabinet for approval to tabling to Parliament. With regard to the gas amendment bill, it was partially achieved in the sense that there was envisage of this saving to before northern, north Gabon. The earthquake is that, yes. Okay.
That was the facility itself. So I'm just confused by this acronym myself too. Okay, then let me go to the last one to deal with the issues that have come also from the clean energy side. In terms of, I'm going to slide 66 because so we can just finish off on this one. Is that the partial achievement in monitoring and evaluation tool for municipal EDSM program, which gets us energy consumption baselines and savings, it has not been developed. There were challenges that experienced in terms of receiving the baseline information from municipalities. And also, we are of the view that the workshop site visits and technical audits will be conducted to assist, particularly struggling with municipalities to comply with the requirements. The other matter that has not been achieved, as I alluded during the point 3 presentation, is that the working for energy strategy and plan has not been achieved. There still need to be work that is done in conjunction with the public works system, the public health program, so that we can align the working for energy and also get align our statistics in terms of employment opportunities that are created with regard to working for energy. We need also in the context also of the public works. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will not try and make any excuses, but I think it is important for me to say, Chair, that in my view, nothing improves performance quicker than having to come here and account honestly.
I like that one. The gentleman is putting himself on the chopping block and the firing squad even before he decides on that.
Listen, in as far as an intervention that minister had made to say that in order to assist in job creation, we have to complete all nuclear industry applications within 60 days. The law says 90 days. But we set ourselves this target. And I need to be clear here that the 90% compliance rate we did not achieve. At best, which is the figure now that PG is auditing, we're able to achieve 85% compliance. So we fell short of the target that we had set ourselves. Partly, there are some issues. First of all, we believe that the people we license, some of them don't have, you know, they don't understand the requirements. So there's work for us to do there because the information that's submitted is not complete. For example, we expect a document to be signed by, if there's a change of hands, it must be signed by the current owner, as well as the prospective owner, and that those documents then should be certified by through a commissioner of oath. And sometimes that doesn't happen. People just sign and submit and have to go back, and we lose the time. We do have system problems. Also, the system that the CFO referred to does need to be the licensing system called PPALS. Does need to be improved. At the moment when the report was compiled, because we're giving the status as was at the end of March, not coming to the first quarter and so on. The system was not able to distinguish between change of hands and new to industry. So we had to rely on a manual system. And that does take time. And then also had appeals that we had to conduct.
contend with. And one thing also that we saw was the number of temporary license increases. This was the same for new to industry as well as the following one, which was the basically the normal, the routine application. Now for the routine application, I must indicate that the performance was even less satisfactory. For the year, we received 1,050. We were only able to finalize within the 90 days 712. So we received, we achieved the 68% compliance for the whole year. And that is an honest account, Chair. I will not come there and make claims. We are doing something about it. I can go into it as a during question. The issue of the fuel samples is a serious matter, as I indicated. We still did not have a budget for that. It is one matter that I must indicate. We still don't have a budget. And then on the, if I move on to the biofuel policy, the biofuels pricing support framework or mechanism, we could not finalize that because we're still trying to understand what the Minister of Finance, well, what basically National Treasury was proposing as was announced by the Minister of Finance during the taking of the appropriations bill. And that came late in February, and we are actually, I must indicate that those discussions continued over the period, the reporting period. And then on the last issue is the fixed retail margin for illuminated paraffin. Illuminated paraffin, the stakeholder consultations again were only completed 4 days before the end of the financial year. So that target for the year was not achieved. And mainly because, as I indicated, we had only received one written response, and then we felt that we cannot say that we have sufficiently consulted only through having one person submitting. So we went to all the provinces to consult on the matter. Chair, that is all from my side. The questions will deal with later.
Thank you, Mr. Mutuben. Mr. Sizemo.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Committee. I'm going to deal with a matter that we actually achieved and not achieved. The issue that we had was the completion of the integrated nuclear infrastructure review. We had set a target that we would submit the annual report to the executive by the end of the financial year. We partially achieved this. We expect to receive the final report from the IAEA by the end of May, which falls in the next quarter. And the next target deals now with the matter of the completion of the nuclear procurement specifications, which we set a target to submit to the National Energy Technical Committee. This was a delay because we were still in the process of conducting these studies. However, we decided that we want to do this in a phased approach. We split the studies so that we are able to get the first view on the first study by the first quarter, so that that first part of the studies will achieve the first quarter, and then there will be another study which will form matter of operationalizing the variety of waste disposal institute. Chelafil, you recall, this institute is called in by the radioactive disposal act. We needed to ensure that this is launched and we appointed the board by the end of the financial year. We've partially achieved this, Honorable Chairperson, because we've went through the process of advertising for the board and we got the candidates, and this had to go through a very thorough screening through the vetting. And this process took its course and it finally completed in the first quarter, and we're now in the process to expedite on the cabinet memorandum to table for this recommended candidate. Then I deal with a matter of processing the authorization within the 8 weeks. This is a matter we've dealt with, and we need to ensure when we are dealing with these applications that when we deal with companies that we have to report, we need to get assurances regarding whether those companies are authentic. And we also then need to deal with the issues that within the applicant themselves, the delays that get into the process and then impacts on the input target that is set ourselves. So what we're doing now, Chairperson, we implemented an electronic system that will ensure that we are able to track these applications and also able to expedite warning the authorizing to say we request this information so that we achieve the target. Then we deal with a matter of, we set the target of conducting 4 nuclear safeguard combined inspections and 1 audit within this financial year. So we've conducted 3 safeguard inspections. However, we did not conduct the audit due to capacity constraints. However, we are dealing with this matter, Chairperson. We are making sure we're developing a very detailed audit plan, and we're also making sure that we train our staff in order to capacitate ourselves in this respect. Dealing with the matter of the NNR Amendment Act, this we've partially achieved. We targeted that at the end of the financial year we'd submit this amendment to the cabinet. However, this was not achieved. We went as far with the process to addressing the state law advice comment and also tabling this amendment to the foster class. And we received quite a substantial input which requires us to engage with other impacted stakeholders and address the comments in a holistic manner, whilst also taking into account the lessons that we are learning from the peer review of the IEA. So the process is ongoing. And then we deal with a matter of a graphite bill for the long-term budget of waste management. We then this to be submitted to the minister by the end of the financial year. We partially achieved this because we had to engage on a very thorough consultation process and also address the stakeholders' comments. However, this will now be achieved in the first quarter of this financial year.
That fund deal, is that a piece of legislation?
That's correct, Chair.
Okay, now back to that.
Then the matter of framework for withdrawal of the safeguard function from a licensed operator. So this is as you may know, this is a function that is currently conducted by NEXA on behalf of the department. And so we are in the process of developing and making sure that there is an approved framework when we remove this function from the operator that is residing in the operator. So that framework has now been drafted, Chairperson. However, we felt that we need to make sure that we take a holistic view within this. We must derive from the lessons that we are starting from the IEA report. And so this is now ongoing. We were incorporating this. Look forward to ensure that this is achieved, say, in this financial year. Then we deal with a matter of the community outreach events. We intended to have concluded three community outreach events in this year, and also including the media campaign. This is achieved as a chairperson. We conducted two community outreach events, one in the expected in the replacement area, and the other one in the northern Cape within the Maroochydore area. And also, we want an additional Africa conference, which provided quite an extensive coverage in terms of making sure that members of the public are aware of the nuclear energy with a view of diversifying the nuclear energy. And with that, I would like to thank you, Chair. So then there's another one that I need to do. Now we've already done this. The two questions that we've already covered.
That's what I was referring to. But
Thank you, Chair. I'm to the last quarter, that's January 2013 to 31st of March 2013. I'll follow the same order of the presentation in third quarter. I'll do the fourth quarter performance overview by economic classification, that is the compensation of employees, goods and services, transfer payments, and CAPEX. The top five major cost drivers and the performance by program, and then under the transfer schedule. The first slide, Chair, on that slide number eight. We've had a budget of 6.7 billion rand, which is adjusted after, and I will tell you the adjustments. We had an original budget of 6.8 billion, which was adjusted.
Hello.
They were distributed.
This one was the related pinch. The line has been adjusted. No, this one was the digit. No. For the teams. This one is fourth quarter financial performance report. Can you make sure that every member has got it, because wasting these few minutes of time is not helpful. Yeah, carry on.
Chair, we've had an original budget of 6.8 billion rand, which was adjusted in the financial year. There was declared saving of 99.37 million that was identified in the solar water geyser program due to the delayed implementation. There was a 25.84 million approved rollover from the 2011-2012 financial year. An additional 2.1 million was also attached to the department by the National Treasury through the adjusted budget process. So giving us budget now of 6.7 billion rand. Of this budget, we spent 6.6 billion. We've had a variance of 75 million, which was unspent, and was mainly made up of compensation of employees, 5.2 million, goods and services, 37.5 million, and transfers and subsidies, 28.1 million, payment for capital assets, 4.1 million. Chair, the fourth quarter top five major cost drivers under goods and services was travel and subsistence, making up 37 million rand. But Chair, over January and February and March, we've had a lot of travel, and some of the highlights are to the United Arab Emirates for the arena, the future energy prize, minister to attend meetings in Abu Dhabi. There were trips to Netherlands, Switzerland, Ethiopia, and South Korea were some of the trips that was undertaken by the ministry. Most of this travel does reside in the administration program where ministers costs reside. Lease payments is second one of 28.5 million. This is inclusive of operating leases for printing machines, office accommodation for both regional and head offices. Office accommodation leases accounts for 89% of the total spend within lease payments budget. Operating payments, 23.9 million rand, mainly for international membership fees. And then property payments was the fourth item on the list, and this includes approximately 20 million rand for the bulk quantities for the relocation to the new head office. Chair, this slide number six, has an overview by program. The administration program was underspent. That the fourth quarter I'm referring to, we had a total underspend value of 75 million, made up of administration, 17 million underspent, energy policy and planning, we had an underspend of 18 million left, national electrification program, 35 million underspent, nuclear energy and regulation, 4.1 million underspent. But I'll go by program giving the reasons for variance. Administration, we had an underspend of 17 million, mainly in, I'll give you the reasons, and compensation of employees. Funding shifted from the energy efficiency demand side management reclassification to cater for overtime costs, additional cost of the establishment, as well as for implementation of salary adjustments for senior management. Unfortunately, the salary increases for management only could be implemented in April, hence the unspent amount at 31 March 2013. So we anticipated those costs would be paid before but unfortunately it didn't happen that way. It only got paid in April. The second one is goods and services, 6.2 million underspend, and it's mainly attributable to outstanding projects, but Chair, much of this money has been requested as part of a rollover to National Treasury. And some of the reasons for the delay, it was mainly due to timing, our tender processes that were a bit long, and some of the projects could not take this as anticipated. Payments for capital assets, 4.3 million underspent. It was mainly due to delays in associated procurement of capital assets that were ought well before year-end, but suppliers couldn't make the delivery on time. Program 2, Energy Policy and Planning. Column 3, if you see, there's an unspent of 18.4 million rand. It's mainly in goods and services. And some of the reasons for it was the 20-year liquid fuel infra plan, which was not completed. Challenges were experienced in the collection of data from the industry, so that process or project was stalled. 11.8 million for ADEM, which was also stopped due to administrative issues that was detected in that. 2.9 million related to support work, monitoring and evaluation of the projects at municipalities. This was also delayed. And those were the main highlights of the AJ for that 18.7 million. And there was a slight underspend in CapEx. Program 3, Energy Regulation. We had a very small underspend there, Chair. It was mainly for international membership fees. And that abbreviation stands for International Partnership on Energy Efficiency. Program 4, National Electrification Program. Chair, of the 3.1 billion in the allocated, the adjusted budget, we actually spent 3.1 billion. 35 million was unspent. It was in the compensation of employees. And that was in goods and services, 6.3 million rand. The balance was mainly due to the altering of the procurement processes for the acquisition of the energy reporting tool. And as I mentioned here, there were administrative issues on that tenor and that contract. Transport payments, we had an underspend of 28 million rand. Balance is due to non-grid electrification program, due to the number of challenges experienced in that area. But contracts are already in place with service providers carrying out the necessary work, which will continue in the new financial year. But Chair, this amount has been motivated for a rollover with National Treasury. Nuclear energy and regulation. There was an underspend of 4.1 million rand, mainly in goods and services. And this was due to funding for projects in preparation of the nuclear build, planned projects that could not be finalized as planned. However, some of the money for these projects that could not be finalized have been requested as part of our rollover in the new financial year. Chair, I would like this transfer schedule, which is the bulk of our money, the way it's expended in the department. We have 6.3 billion rand to transfer to state-owned enterprises and municipalities. The actual transfers as of 31 March 2013 was 6.2 billion rand, leaving us with a variance of 28.1 million. The 28.1 million was not transferred due to the backlogs as a result of the slow start of the project, but as mentioned, Chair, it has been part of the rollover request to National Treasury. Chair, of the 75 million that I spent, as I spoke of earlier on, that was unspent for the department in totality, we had an unspent balance of 75 million. Of the 75 million, we managed to request a rollover of 63 million rand, 69 million rand. And the makeup of that is 28.1 million is the non-grid, which I just mentioned now, for non-grid projects in Ireland. 20 million was also requested by a special commission from National Treasury to assist municipalities with the higher backlogs. And that was a meeting that was held with the Deputy Minister of Finance and the department, where we had some money left over in goods and services and capital expenditure. But having viewed the department and looking at the backlogs, a special motivation was made to National Treasury in this regard, and they have, in principle, given us permission to have 20 million then as part of our rollover request, which we have done so far. So we have requested the 28.100, 20 million to municipalities, and the last 21 million is for goods and services. This chair was for all the projects, some of the operating expenses that happened that we couldn't finish and pay on time, but it is part of our motivation as a rollover. And I think we anticipate to see the response in July, or there about Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Great, that's nice. Very nice point at the end. You got 69 out of 75, which is better than before. I can't remember the figures. I don't. National Treasury, honorable members, will always create this, you know, when rollover is being requested. Now we are putting us in an invidious position because how are we going to check you guys on first quarter? Because I'm going to forget it now. But if it was part of, you are asking honorable members, if that slide is part of this, then when would be checking the first quarter of this current financial year, we would be looking at that as the extent to which that 69 million has been used as well. Because remember, quarterly report, it's not like looking at an annual report. You actually are monitoring issues on a quarterly basis. So, let's have a deal. If you could just give us an additional slide as to how you propose to use the 69 million. Thank you. Nandu.
Thank you, Chair, I appreciate your comment. It's an oversight on my part, but I will find that it's an accountable for food as well.
Suppose all is done from your side. Because what is going to
point of entry, because a number of companies now are importing petroleum via Mozambique. Now, customs, they do that, but they are checking for different things, and we have to check for the others. And that is the importance of this exercise. The fuel that comes via the Devon port, it's easier to monitor because it goes through the oil companies, and I don't think at this stage they do a certification on their own. But where we need to monitor is fuel that's coming through other parts of the our borders. So we will come back to the committee with progress in this regard. We have engaged SABS already. However, where we could not move beyond is the issue of how then this gets financed, because they are then able, they have developed protocols to be able to test. So it's a question now of funding. On the
How much does it cost?
When we develop the check, because we have a comprehensive business plan in this regard, we costed it to around 10 million. It is quite a costly exercise. Staff, for the one they do, is quite costing them considerably more. But they only check for adulteration of diesel. And at least in as far as that is concerned, we are confident that they are covering that side. That is, there are other specifications, for example, making sure that benzene it is covered at an appropriate, meets the specifications and so on. The issue of the 30%, what I was referring to there is that for Iran we used to get at least a quarter of our fuel, of our crude oil from Iran. So that has gone from 27-28% to zero currently. And what then happened is other countries have increased, notably Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Angola, we're seeing Equatorial Guinea and Ghana coming into the picture. And I think for us as the department, it is exciting in the sense that we always wanted to diversify. And we are then diversifying closer to home, in the sense that we are now doing intra-African trade, which is quite useful for the development of the continent. What we also have done is the capacity of SFF has been enhanced through the recruitment of experts in trading and so on, but they can expand on that. We are positioning SFF to actually play a critical role in as far as this matter is concerned. And there are plans for looking at infrastructure in Saldanha, Milnerton, Devon, as well as around the Klerksdorp area, to increase the security of supply. I'm not sure if I've covered, but if I can go back to the issue of how does the U.S. come in? The U.S. is producing quite a lot of light crude now of its own. And as a result, they are requiring less and less light crude from Nigeria and Angola. And that means that you could have stranded crude oil in these countries. And I think we need to perhaps make use of that opportunity to make sure that we capture at least part of that. Of course, we need to make sure that it's favorable terms. But that's work that is that we're engaged in currently. Thank you.
And now to the Minister of Finance.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, two issues from the road. Sorry, on the issue of disparity scheme dealing with involved in previous years' connections. That's correct. That's what the question was asked with respect to quarter three. As mentioned in the previous time I answered, is that we're dealing with the artistic effect. And that this quarter three, quarter four is always one quarter behind in these balances because of the difference in financial years. So that's the one challenge. The other one is that the procurement process is very long. You find that sometimes when they start in July with their financial year, they only get the contractors on the ground 6 to 8 months later because at this point consulting engineer do the designs. Then the internal skills that has been outsourced, that's procurement process, then the contractors, then the whole social community process. And sometimes it's close to a year before they start with the process. There also is some challenges where applications are made for houses and the houses are not completed. And also, that's a challenge, but how are we going to deal with it? So what is it this year, and I believe that will assist us, is two things. The one is that put a lot of pressure on them to sign early contracts and to guard the procurement before the financial year starts because we can only transfer funds in July for their programs, but nothing would help me to go out and tender so that when the funds are transferred that they can start implementing. A large number of municipalities starting to implement that. We also tried to system that we streamline internal processes to ensure that these projects are delivered quicker. This year, I think, is the first time in a very long period that we actually got this good numbers from municipalities because of this assistance. I don't want to say pressure, but rather be there, not in the face, but also like the hands. We also don't have all the resources, but just that struggling very severely with big projects, we do try to assist in that regard. We also have called in the assistance of ESA, from COPTA, also Chair, as you've been referred to earlier, DBSA also. Not so much in resort, but more in terms of assisting with just processes, how to deal with tendering, how to deal with analysing, monitoring their own projects. And all the help in the end. It's a slow process, but we are moving forward. So I can really say that we are positive about that one. And well, Chair, the correct comment on the non-grid issues, that's we have a couple of challenges there. And just to put it into context, the country is wall-to-wall licensed between other ESCOM municipalities for grid expansion. So these concession areas are falling within these license areas, either of municipalities or ESCOM. So for these concessionaires to roll out their non-grid program, they need to get the approval of one of the licensing entities. If it's ESCOM, that's so. ESCOM, irrespective, we also begin an agreement with municipality in that specific area. And that takes a while. I must say it's not an easy process, and hence why we're struggling with that. But as we also mentioned previously by one of the members, is that we have developed a new ISO notification strategy that partly implemented this year, but for next year going to implement. That's one of the issues that specifically has been addressed in the near strategy, is that upfront, before we allocate the funds, all the parties, ESCOM municipalities, give the agreement where those areas are when non-grid is going to be implemented. So it's going to enhance all for those areas. It's going to be much easier. The allocations, the background contracting work, is going to be done with municipalities and ESCOM upfront. So it's not going to be left for the concessionaire entity, which is a private entity,
that need to do this, all these relations, the interdate takes months before they can get onto the ground. So to take that away, that we have this discipline. So it's part of this new ISO certification services. So it's right, it's a challenge, hence why it's an issue that we brought. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, there was an overall question. Thank you very much, Chair. That's the overall question as to why so many not achieved partial achievements. I think the Chairperson, that was sufficiently covered by the presentation from, you know, the projects. But I would like Mr. Mkiza maybe to deal with the question relating to legislation. Mr. Mkiza. From the policy and then side.
Partially, I would say that with regard to legislation, part of the problem has been the simplistic estimation of and being optimistic in terms of the times to get legislation through. That was one. And second to that is also, it was also a skills thing from our side, because we had them to build skills and set some people to do legislative drafting. The pieces of legislation that we have here have also been noted that, like for example, the Gas Act, it went to cabinet and it was sent back for review, which review we did, and hence led to the delays for the progress not to be as per estimated time frames that were included in our EPP. We have noted that for planning going forward,
thanks, Chairperson. And as far as my record is concerned, we've dealt with all the questions that we asked. Maybe we should now hand over or hand back to the Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Now, Honourable Members, floor is yours. Teres Lau, Prof. and Terelot. Honourable Smiley.
Chairperson, just a couple of questions. The first one would be on the petroleum program. On the issues of licensing and compliance, I think it's slide number 50 here. What methods are you using in this respect? Do you perhaps use some kind of committee focusing on this, or is it a commission or board or whatever structure? What kind of system do you use in ensuring that this is having some people that are putting hands on in that particular kind of function in the department? The second question goes to corporate. I think it was slide 3, which makes reference to delays caused by stakeholders. The question is, what needs to be done? We cannot simply just say the stakeholders are delaying us and then we follow up. What kind of remedial action do we take to avoid those delays, and or what kind of action do we take to those stakeholders? And on the programs of and projects, yes, I hear about ESCOM and municipalities' reasons for the delay. I think the reason in my view is that we are getting micro to negotiate with macro. ESCOM is a macro electricity generator, huge player, and municipalities are little areas in those particular place wanting ESCOM to, depending on ESCOM to get interested. Couldn't we look at an option that would get ESCOM and SAGA to enter into a particular kind of framework that would smoothen things at the lower level by way of an agreement? If it's possible, that to expect ESCOM to stretch itself throughout the whole country, all the municipalities, to attempt to reach little agreements in each municipality. The last but one is the nuclear OFH 61. Also around the stakeholders' delays. Something has not happened because stakeholders did not respond at the time was expected. The question that goes there is the same question that went to corporate as to what then, where do we go from there, and by when do we think we shall have achieved what we intend to achieve in terms of that particular project. And the last is the general issue, Chairperson, on the presentation, that in the presentation of the last quarter, a number of things were referred to this quarter. And in the presentation of this quarter, a number of things are referred to the next quarter. And all of these are made because of either constraints as a result of authorities, and stakeholders' processes, or some other obstacles that are created, such as lack of finances, capacity, and resources. Generally, that's what we are getting. The question on the general matter, which affects almost everything, but every program, is what do we do to try and ensure that we achieve more with less?
let me add on to Rob here. On the inspections, on your third quarter, you might mention that inspections are not happening due to unqualified or inspectors that you haven't got qualified inspectors. But in the fourth quarter, you might you point out that you, according to towards an audit that should be taken. But the concern that I have got is that if you haven't got qualified inspectors to do the nuclear facility, what's happening? How are we increasing the risk at those areas and within those programs and within those product lines that that needs to be tested or looked at? It is a concern to me, and I would refer to your, you want us to refer to you to your page where you said that it is necessary to, if you want me to refer to it, but it's there. When we talk about the policies and regulations on the biofuels and support mechanism, I'm trying to understand is that are we having maybe in the next quarter, maybe in the next of the next first term quarter, then KPIs that will then talk to the number of institutions, companies that we are trying to assist, and putting a ramp figure next to that so that we can actually see how we are trying to assist the industry and how that link would be. It was the transfer of the licenses that said that share that some of these things are happening slowly because they are waiting for the PPALS. The concern that I've got is that it seems like that there's no link to CIPC or the old called CIPRA. And when we go towards a manual system, when data from one company is being transferred to another one and there's no sort of verification, is there a link with is there a direct link with CIPC so that there is no possibility of hijacking of companies that we've seen in the past, you know, from other companies? If there's not a direct link with CIPC, then how do we get to a link that we do have a direct link with that? If I talk about the unspent money, Ms. Chetty, we earlier said it was 131 million rand, and if my understanding is right, that we're asking of that 69 million rand to be rolled over towards the next financial year, and I'm just trying to put it right into my head that I understand it right, and towards the petroleum industry, and it was alarming to say that our controls at the Mozambique border or import or products that are coming into the import of Mozambique create a risk for certain companies. And I do know that there are petroleum companies in South Africa, and I'm talking about the downstream product companies, that are sitting with dieseling products that is not diesel, but it's got more paraffin in than diesel. And mixture is happening. And the quality of the product is not happening. And how do we allow a product into our country that we've got a fuel specification set standard? Surely the companies that bring in those refined products must show or give proof to say that the specs are X, and if those pigs, if there is some sort of fraudulent activity taking place that they are trying to come up, try and bring in an inferior product within our borders, what are the penalties that you are imposing into those companies? Are you uplifting licenses? Are you suspending licenses? Are you putting out inspectors then out before that specific company can bring in a product that a approval from your side is then being asked for to safeguard companies within our own borders when they buy that product? And when do you think you said that it's a possible cost of 30 million rand in safeguarding those borders or that specific border? When will we... Is there a timeline that you're looking at for yourself to make sure that those other issues that you need to want to test at the department, when will we meet them in order to make sure that we minimize our risk in those things? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Since some concerns, I'll just ask one question. It's around the enterprise-wide risk management. I'm slightly worried and I need to allay my fears. This department was established in 2009, if I'm correct. Now, the things that you have mentioned here that are partially achieved, let me explain to you where I come from. You expect the executive, the top management of the department to go into a process of identifying the key risks for the department and say, these are the key risks, and developing software and a risk plan. Now, your internal audit should then develop an audit plan that's based on those risks. And when I'm trying to, and that's why I'm saying you need to align my fears, because here you're indicating that things have been partially achieved for a department that was established in 2009. My question is, why 4 years down the line and some of these areas have not been achieved? That's what, because I would assume that's a simple exercise for the executive of the department to be able to identify the key risks. These are the key risks. After the key risks, and say, this is a plan, this is a risk plan, and then the internal audit to be able to say, we are going to develop an audit plan that looks to the key risks that have been identified by the department, and then you have a risk management committee, which must also ensure that these things are implemented. But I'm worried when I see this partially achieved for a department that was established in 2009.
Yeah, audit risk management, it's an interesting look, I'll put my question in writing to take time. I'll just make comments and then those. Over to you, Paul and Judy.
Thanks, Chairperson. Maybe I should deal with the question relating to resource constraints, because a number of presenters have really made reference to resource constraints and to say that this will be achieved. Yes, Chair, this is correct. What we have...
Thanks, sorry. That's linked to another thing, maybe on a lot of point. I've noted some of the areas I also was scribbling one word again. Now you see, and it's raised under third quarter, but it's raised again under fourth quarter. I don't want to go to specifics unless you want me to, but it's just that in terms of what you are responding to, concerns that I share with members one way or another, and I've not read it in a way of reading it, that you pick up an issue that has been raised in the third quarter report, and the assumption and expectation, particularly if there are corrective actions, that in the follow-up quarter, something will be done, isn't it?
So
sorry to hand it up. I'm sure I must have messed up the train of thinking. Sorry, Kwabo. But I just wanted to sneak that in. A very good example is I was looking at it, slide 68, page 34, work for any program. Again, came up. But even earlier, some corrective action was suggested. I think one day, I'm not saying sorry to blame for that. Then, if it comes up again, surely some comment must indicate in writing why corrective action was either not effective or not done. Then I will be asking this question. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me maybe deal with this questions in a chronological order. In as far as corporate services is concerned, there was an indication that delays were caused by consultation with stakeholders, and the question was, what are we doing to ensure that these kinds of delays do not recur? These delays, Chair, I must indicate, related to the restructuring process of the Department of Energy. As we all know, change is very uncertain, and those persons that will be affected by change in terms of our democratic principles will have to be consulted so that they buy into this change and they support what we present to them as the new structure of the Department of Energy. As to what we are doing, we have to educate people that, or maybe to explain to them that we are changing for the better, and to convince human beings to say change that we are introducing is not to make them worse off. It will obviously take time because of the uncertainties that might be created by the change itself. So a change process is quite difficult. We had to consult with the affected staff members in various branches, hence the prolonged consultation process. What we have done, because that's one area we identified, that this prolonged consultation process was mainly caused by short steward who could not understand as what we intend to achieve as the leadership of the department. We have consulted with the GPSSBC to end, you know, to further educate them on the processes within the DPC, that is the Departmental Bargaining Chamber, and the rules of engagement with the employer, in this case the leadership of the Department of Energy. So we are continuously ensuring that we train them, and we've ensured that those that were affected by the restructuring process do understand that this change that we're introducing, it was not meant to make them worse off, but it was meant to benefit both the South African public and themselves as employees of the department. Hence, no one was let off and is supportive of the structure now. Relating to resource constraints, yes, Chairperson, a number of representatives have alluded to that, because we have introduced a process where we prioritize posts. The intention here is to fill the critical posts like we've always maintained since the establishment of the department, that irrespective of the minimum resources that we have to make sure that we deliver the best, you know, out of what we have. It is a normal thing, the means will always be limited and the needs will always be unlimited. So with what you have, the position that we've taken is to say we have to derive more, you know, out of what. Hence, we have embarked on a process of prioritizing posts. We have introduced what we call the Organizational Development Committee that comes together being representative of all the, representatives from various branches where we prioritize posts, you know, and we identify them as being critical. And out of the funding that we have received, we fund those whatever we get, either from National Treasury or through internal reprioritization, we use that money to fund critical posts. That process has taken place. And you'll soon see a number of the, you know, a number of posts being advertised, particularly in the area of media, in the area of INEP. Very few and very low level in the area of support services, because our priority at the moment is line function components. So I'll now hand over to Ms. Matovela to deal with the very first question relating to petroleum licensing and compliance as to what methods are being used to ensure that nobody puts hands, you know, in this process. And then the question relating to ESCOM negotiation with municipalities. Why are we not involved in SAUDA? Why are we saying macro must negotiate with micro? That will be answered by Dr. Barnard. And nuclear stakeholder delays, not responding in time. What interventions are there clearly going forward? That will be dealt with by Mr. Bambo. Reference to capacity constraint, what do we do? Okay, and I have dealt with that. The nuclear part will also be dealt with, will also be dealt with by Mr. Mbambo, because, you know, in relation to the audit by Mr. Mbambo. And then travel and assistance will be dealt with by CFO. As to whether we are deriving, you know, value out of these international visits, I think that will also be dealt with CFO and COO will add. And then relating to instructions not happening due to us not having enough qualified inspectors, that will be dealt with by Mr. Matovela and policies by Mr. Mbambo, and so on, and whether there is a link between a CFO and our system in the department, that will be dealt with by Mr. Matovela. Okay. The underspending, you know, 131 million, as if we will deal with that, and the enterprise risk management question will be dealt with by Mr. Mulauzi. Chair, those are the questions that I've captured. In the event I've left out any, my colleagues will assist me. Thanks. CFO. Sorry, Mr. Matovela.
Honourable members, agreed. I'm outvoted. I'm outvoted. Mail is good so that I can start that practice. Thanks very much.
The question must be understood in the light that we were not really discussing the document. We were just planning questions on certain areas and asking some other things what they mean and can they do. But the in-depth of what the document intends to achieve is something that we will also have to look at on our own and if needs be called in terms and try to go. Not only are we interested in the areas that are mentioned, we are also interested, especially within what, in areas where we have been able to achieve.
In closing, one of the things I realized that we need to tamper with the reporting format. Because it's only nuclear energy that only in the fourth quarter report that decided discerning between comments and corrective action. I didn't pick that up in other programs. And it's very, very important. And even the use of legislation, it didn't come out in the third quarter report. It only came out in the fourth quarter. So that's very, very important. See, once again, the fundamental importance of quarterly report is to monitor progress on a quarterly basis, not the overall tuber analysis at the end of the financial year. So even the way we relate it will be different. But of course, what I sense is that we also have to build up a deeper understanding of how to handle these quarterly reports. The unfortunate thing on our numbers as well is that we get them so late. As a result, even today we are compacting two quarter reports in one session. We will obviously ensure that the quarterly report for this first quarter is handled as early as possible next quarter, that is the third quarter, the third term, so that we don't lose the frequency now. We do our level best, and also, once again, we ensure that from the department side, reports are submitted in time, so that we don't just tick the box in the scoreboard that we've done our work and submitted. We ask questions and we make comments. If I may just remind you, particularly with reference to the fuel tax and the non-financing, pretty soon the budget office is going to be operating. And that triggered my mind that, amongst other things, maybe that's one of the challenges from the portfolio committee of energy side to see how we use the budget office to ensure that things are done. Because it is actually spine-chilling on group members to think that the machinery, the vehicles, the whatever other, you know, piece of equipment that's using fuel in South Africa is using fuel which is not constantly monitored. I hope it's not clear that where there it is. Because the fuel specifications, you keep on checking that, given the chemical composition or the percentage blending, it's according to the specification. People do not start cutting corners and putting in things that are bad. I think also, without knowing this, if I'm not an expert, that also spills over to pollution or whatever. This is even energy efficiency, just the efficiency of the equipment. We'll discuss it later, but I'm just making that comment and indicating that obvious number of members hopefully will not be handling this quarterly reporting process as we've done today. We'll gain more strength and be incisive on it. As for now, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much. Let's go and have lunch. Can I just express two good things? We need to extend our well wishes for Honorable Tindo, who's been hospitalized, and Stan Zungu, who's still sick, to get well sooner than later. We need them back into the system. And from the chairperson's position, I thought today we would be getting a get well card for them so that we can all sign them. Unfortunately, the exact my secretary could not come, so we'll hopefully do it on your behalf, but we'll be sending a 12 cards and stuff.